You're listening to the European Tour Race to Dubai show with Dan Roebuck and John Hawksworth.
Hello and welcome to the European Tour Race to Dubai show as Torbjørn Olesen is crowned King of the Links in Scotland.
I just kept on fighting, kept being patient out there, trying to hit greens, trying to give myself birdie chances. It was my week, if you can say so.
18 under was enough for Olesen to claim the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship ahead of Brooks Koepka and a very happy Chris Stroud.
To have such a scrappy year all year long and to come over here, basically a rookie, playing against the best European Tour players at an incredible event, to play this well against these guys, it's pretty special.
It just wasn't about the professionals, with the team pro-am won by Florian Fritsch alongside former Germany international footballer Michael Ballack.
Big golf fans in Germany. My friends, they told me yesterday to go out in the last flight, what it means here on a Sunday in St. Andrews. It's special, it's unique, and I should enjoy it, and that's what I've done.
Loads to come on the show, including an exclusive interview with Torbjørn Olesen. Plus, we'll also turn our attention to the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports, which is back after a seven-year absence. Hello, I'm Dan Roebuck. A very good day to one and all. Alongside me, John Hawksworth. John, how are you?
Very well for my age, thank you.
Alfred Dunhill Links Championship we're going to kick off with. We have to start there. Denmark's Torbjørn Olesen held his nerve, John.
He did.
To claim his third European Tour title, because he did get a little nervy early on, didn't he? Dropping shots in the opening three holes.
Well, yeah, he birdied the first, then he doubled the second, bogeyed the third, but he did birdie the fourth. But a man who's had a tough time this season, it was a massive day for him yesterday, because going into the final round, he was 124 on the race to Dubai and only 110 keep the card. He wouldn't have been exempt for next year unless he'd been in the top 110. And after that start, because other players started playing well, you know, he was really under the cosh. But in the end, he managed to shoot 71. But I think the turning point for me was his par on 14, where he flirted with the bunkers. The beard is off the tee and then hell bunker, made five, and then hold it from about 70 feet on 15 for an unlikely birdie up the hill from left to right. And that gave him a little bit of a cushion, which you need over the closing holes at St Andrews, because the likes of Koepka were playing well. Stroud was in the clubhouse. Chris Wood had posted 15 under, but he knew that wasn't going to be good enough. But for Olesen, I think it was fantastic, because I saw him a couple of weeks ago in Holland, and boy, he looked a beaten man. And he's a great player, and he's just proved it again.
Well, he's missed more cuts than he's made over the course of this season. Obviously, he had injury problems with tendon issues to his left hand. When you've got a three-shot lead heading into the final day and you've not been playing well all season, what is the mindset going into it?
Well, your brain, as a golf professional, you are always fighting negative thoughts. It's really hard as a golf professional, you know, to sort of forget what's gone before and deal with what's happening now. But, I mean, he's 25 years of age. He's had a couple of wins in both Sicily and Australia at the end of last year. But when you've had a wrist injury, it's horrible, because you never know whether it's going to quite feel the same again.
Going into the pro-am format doesn't suit some players, does suit others. Do you think it helped him in the end?
Well, if it doesn't suit you, you shouldn't be playing at the end of the day, because you either like it or you don't. And I think he does, but, you know, it took 6 hours for the final round yesterday. 20 amateurs qualified for the final round. You've got to contend with everything that goes with it. I mean, it's a great event, but if you're going to play in that event, you've got to deal with that situation. It's quite unusual. We don't often play it. Olesen has finished second there before, so he obviously doesn't mind it, but his hand was forced to go to St Andrews, because it was big money and a chance to tie his card up, and he's taken care of all of that.
What were the conditions like on the last day? Because Brooks Koepka described them as tough, and we know that the finishing stretch can be tough anyway at St Andrews.
Parky, I would say, parky.
The weather really didn't help the golfers, did it?
Well, it didn't yesterday, but I mean, really, the week was fantastic. No rain, pretty benign. We've had a high over Britain for quite a while, which is coming to an end. But to play St Andrews, Carnoustie and King's Barnes, two rounds on St Andrews, cut comes after three, only 60 make the cut. But to have those conditions, all right, it was chilly yesterday and there was a bit of breeze, but, you know, just put a sweater on, Dan.
We've seen in the past players like Brandon Grace make their score at King's Barnes. He shot a 60 there when he won a few years ago. But is it all about how you play at St Andrews, whether you're going to win this event or not?
No, not really. Carnoustie is a difficult golf course. And if you get a bit of breeze on that, you know, the scoring was good all week. For 18 under to win over four rounds on those three great courses is good scoring. But no, it's not just about St Andrews, although you would probably say, is it the easiest? I think there's a lot of birdie chances now with how far the ball goes.
Well, I'm very pleased to say that Torbjørn Olesen joins us now. Torbjørn, well done. Were you a little nervous heading into the final round and down the stretch?
I was definitely nervous the whole way around, and it was very, very cold, which didn't make it easier. But I kept on being patient out there and just fought it all the way and kept trying to make pass and give myself chances for birdies. It was a big relief to see that putt drop in on 15.
I was in Holland a couple of weeks ago where you missed the cut, and I looked at you and you looked a man who was struggling a little bit. But yesterday, that five you made at 14, I mean, you wouldn't have seen the tee shot, you know, nearly found the bunker, and then you just missed hell bunker and played a great third shot. And then you hold that putt on 15. Did you think then, it's my day?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, on 14, when it just cleared that bunker in my second shot, I thought I might have a little bit of vlog with me today. That'll help me a little bit to get over that line. So, yeah, you get that bit of luck also when you're winning, and it was great for me to see me get the right bounces this week and hold a few long putts, and yeah, just very, very, very happy.
How tough has the year been for you, Torbjørn, because you were off earlier this campaign because of tendon problems to your left hand? It must have been a struggle the early part of the year.
Yeah, definitely. I've never tried that before. To not been able to hit a golf ball for, yeah, 3 months, just over 3 months, is very frustrating. The first week or so is all right. You get away from the golf and you relax. But then you want to get back to the range and you want to start playing golf again. So, yeah, it's been a very tough season. And when I got back, I obviously had a good week in Mauritius. But then just haven't been able to find any consistency at all in my game, and that's been very frustrating.
What did you do last night to celebrate?
We had quite a few drinks. My manager put up and took some Nando's and bought a lot of drinks and took it back to the house. We were sitting here and then we went out to a few bars.
It must have been special at St Andrews for you, Torbjørn.
Oh, yeah, big time. Yeah, it's an unbelievable place to win. I remember I came here in 2000 with my dad to watch the Open. I think I still got some grasp from there, back home in Denmark. So yeah, to win here is just makes it even better on these three golf courses. Very nice.
It is an unusual format. Do you like it? Do players generally like it?
I do. You know, I finished second here also 1 year. Got very, very close to winning. I've always had very good partners, and this year Kelly was unbelievable. Very chilled guy. Just a good laugh. So yeah, I do like the format.
What are you doing now for the rest of the season? Have you changed your plans? Because obviously, I don't know whether the card was in your mind at this time of the season, but have you changed your schedule now?
I don't know. I haven't thought about it at all yet. We'll see.
Well, very well played. It was great to see you win.
Thank you very much.
Just one final point, Torbjørn, before I let you go. Did you speak to Nick Kolsarts ahead of the tournament? Did he help you at all?
Yeah, I mean, I've been staying this week. We rented a house, me and Kolsarts and Thomas Bjorn. So we stayed in the house just off the 18th. We had a great guy, and he's a very good friend. And, yeah, just kept me chilled. You know, we were very relaxed all week, having a good time.
Speaking of Thomas Bjorn, do you realise that you've broke one of his records this week?
No, I didn't.
I'll tell you what it is. At 25 years and 293 days, which is your age, you've become the youngest Dane to win three European Tour titles, beating Thomas's record, who was 27 years and 75 days.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Torbjørn, thanks for joining us on the Race to Dubai show. Have a great rest of the season. We wish you well, and we'll speak soon.
Thank you very much, guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
John, as Torbjørn mentioned, he doesn't have to worry about saving his card now. I mean, it's a huge bonus. You mentioned already that there's so much money available for this event. And if you can get a high finish or indeed win, you can not only secure your playing privileges for the following year, but also getting to the top 60 and all the big events come the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like losing your job if you're outside the 110. I mean, there's a couple of really household names that are in a lot of trouble, and I'll name one of them, which is Eduardo Molinari, is down in 157th place, played the Ryder Cup with his brother at Celtic Manor. He's a multiple winner on tour and has said that he won't be playing any more tournaments this season due to personal reasons, and he will be going to the tour school. Now, that is a big shock for someone like that. And another one who's in trouble is Alvaro Quiroz, who won the Dubai World Championship a few years ago. There's one in Portugal. He's in a mess as well. So it can happen to the best of them. But, yep, you are playing for your career, and 110 at the moment is Daniel Brooks. So anyone from sort of 102 down to 110 could do with a good week.
Just one final point on Olesen. For a player that's won three times on tour, John, now we know what a talented performer he is. In your opinion, how far can he go? What do you expect from him over the next couple of years?
Well, as long as he's fit with his hand, obviously, I think he could go a long way in the game. I mean, he's 25 years of age. It's nothing, really. They seem to be getting younger and better, but he's got all... I like the way he swings it. I think he'll draw massive confidence on what he's done yesterday, that when the chips were against the wall, he was able to produce, so I expect a lot.
As we mentioned, his third European Tour international schedule victory in his 130th event, and he moves to 25th in the Race to Dubai rankings. Well, two Americans, Chris Stroud and Brooks Koepka, pushed Olesen all the way before falling two shots short on 16 under. Here's a very excited Chris Stroud.
I had an incredible time. I can't believe how lucky we got with the weather. And to birdie the last hole like that, it's awesome. I just had a great week. I'm very excited that I was able to, after coming off such a weak year on the PGA Tour, this is going to be my 10th year on the PGA Tour next year, to have such a scrappy year all year long, and to come over here, basically a rookie, playing against the best European Tour players at an incredible event, to play this well against these guys, it's pretty special. So I'm very happy in that regard. Like I said, I'm just grateful to have the chance to be here.
Great to hear from Chris Stroud. Obviously enjoyed himself, played well because he's not been playing well on the PGA Tour. And I think it's terrific when the PGA Tour professionals come over and play our European Tour events, John.
No, they're taking all our money. Yeah, no, of course it is. He finished 1-1-6 on the FedEx this year. So he's not had the best of years. But I should think, you know, the Americans, they love to come over. They said the home of golf, and it's a completely different way of playing golf. And he's coped very well with it indeed. Brooks Koepka's been over in Europe a lot more, and he's won in Turkey. He's won on the PGA Tour, and he's a bit more experienced. But Stroud, yeah, no, great week.
Speaking of Koepka, we can hear from the American who was satisfied with his week's work.
Pretty pleased. Anytime you shoot on a par around here, I mean, the conditions were pretty tough, so I'd take it. 67 was fine, but, just not quite good enough.
It looked like in those early stages it was going to be another birdie fest. It's become a little bit tricky coming home, hasn't it?
Yeah, we were talking about it. If you teed off on the back nine, you played the back nine fine, and then the wind kind of picked up right as soon as we were teeing off. The leaders kind of teeing off, so you got the back nine downwind. But it's a difficult course when the wind blows, especially in this direction. It's hard. That finish from 13 on is hard. So, but, you know, overall I played pretty well, but I just came up a little bit short.
Brooks Koepka speaking about his week at St Andrews. And, of course, he's a player that we've seen before, as you mentioned, John. He's a player that's gone close to major glory this season. What lies in wait over the next 12 months for Brooks?
There are people that stand out for me. Koepka's one of them. He's extremely long. He's calm and he's a good putter as well. And if you've got those attributes, I think he's destined for great things. And maybe, you know, he is... major material. At the end of the day, it's down to him in his head, but he certainly looks to have all the onions in his basket.
Of course, the professional competition is only part of the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, as it's also an opportunity for amateurs to claim a little bit of glory on the old course. The Team Pro-Am event was won by Florian Fritsch alongside former Germany international footballer Michael Ballack.
It's special. It's special. It's totally different and it's special. I know what it means, my friend. I know it, but big golf fans in Germany, my friends, they told me even yesterday to go out in the last flight, what it means here on a Sunday in St. Andrews. It's special, it's unique, and I should enjoy it, and that's what I've done.
What are your thoughts when you're standing over little putts for birdie, the net birdie at least, at the last couple of holes?
Yeah, it was an up and down. We were leading quite a long time, comfortable, and then suddenly someone passed us. Yeah, we needed two birdies from the last three holes, and we got it.
Nick Dye with the questions once again. Michael Ballack, we heard from, part of the amateur team that won at St Andrews, and it's great for the amateurs to come over. We get one or two stars of stage and screen, John, one or two ex-sportsmen as well.
Who did I see? Michael Vaughan, and then you've got Sir Steve Redgrave, and then Shane Warne, all sorts of people. It's very popular, and it's kind of seen as a feather in your cap if you get in the Dunhill Links Championship, but there's many come back year after year.
We need the top 10 in Scotland, John.
Right, well, we know that Olesen managed to prevail by two shots. And then second tied was Brooks Koepka, Chris Stroud. Fourth tied, there was a few of them, Kiradek Afi-Barnrat, Benjamin Hebert, Joachim Lagergren tied his card up, and Bernd Wiesberger and Chris Wood. Then ninth tied, Stuart Sink over from America had a chance. David Drysdale did very well, needed a good week to keep his card, and he's done it. David Horsey and Søren Kjeldsen, that's down to the top 12.
How does that make an impact, if at all, in the race to Dubai standings? Once again, we need the top 10.
Well, it doesn't really, but it's still led by McIlroy. And then Danny Willett second, Louis Oosthuizen third, Justin Rose fourth, Brandon Grace fifth, Shane Lowry sixth, Bernd Wiesberger seventh. Might have made a slight difference there from his position. Eighth as well, Brooks Koepka, so he's moved up a little bit. Tong Chai Jada, who won in Germany last week, and Anaban Lahiri in 10th.
Last week's fantasy race to Dubai tips were as follows, Mr. Hawksworth. You were not in the studio. Mr. Robert Lee went for Mark Warren, who finished 38th. And I went for Martin Keimer, who finished 56th.
Very well done.
So not great, really, on the tipping front. We hope for better, certainly from yourself, John, this time around. We'll get to our selections a little bit later on the show when it comes to the British Masters. As for the European Tour's fantasy race to Dubai game, Shane's team, called Tryhards, amassed the most points at the Alfred Dunhill Links Championship, with Torbjørn Olesen as star player, and both Koepka and Wiesberger in there as well. And Gareth Clayton is back to the top of the overall standings after a bad week for last week's leader. Remember, there are prizes available in the Fantasy Race to Dubai each week and each month, so even if you haven't played before, you can still sign up for the final series and take home some exclusive prizes. To pick your fantasy team, visit europeantour.com/myeuropeantour. We move on to the world rankings. John, any change?
No, not really. Zach Johnson, 10th. Jim Furyk, 9th. Dustin Johnson, 8th. Justin Rose, 7th. Henrik Stenson, 6th. Ricky Fowler, 5th. Bubba Watson, 4th. Rory McIlroy, third, Jason Day second, and Jordan Spieth first. So you'd have to say, really, those three, the top three, will be fighting the world rankings out, I feel, for a little while.
I asked Robert Lee last week if the trio at the top of the world rankings played in a three ball, all on top of their game, all fighting fit, which player would shoot the lowest score? Who would you go for? I'll tell you what Mr. Lee said after your answer.
Jason Day.
Mr. Robert Lee went for Rory McIlroy.
Mm. Well, he might be right. I don't think... this is obviously great players, all of them. They're best at their best. McIlroy's putting is not as good as the other two for me. Teter Green is, without question, awesome. But we know that the recipe for being a great, great player is you've got to be able to hold the putts. And Rory's a good putter. But when Spieth's putting well, it's... As Stenson said, how can you compete against someone who puts like that?
And Olesen is now 73rd in the world rankings, up from 155th. In other news, the European Tour last week released details on the initial sector of the 2016 race to Dubai. The schedule highlights the tour's growing global footprint with tournaments in 9 different destinations around the world before the end of March, with 2 events in Malaysia underlining the European Tour's strong relationship with the Asian Tour. One of those Malaysian events is a new tournament, with another, the Australian PGA Championship, taking place in December this year on the Gold Coast Down Under. South Africa plays a major role once more, hosting 4 events, and don't forget the traditional desert swing in Abu Dhabi, Doha and Dubai. You can find full details of the early race to Dubai schedule for next season at europeantour.com. On the European Challenge Tour, Matteo Del Podio gave Italy a home winner with a 3-shot victory in the EMC Challenge Open in Rome. The 30-year-old led from start to finish, holding off a final day charge from Gary Boyd to seal a maiden Challenge Tour victory. Meanwhile, England's Simon P. Brown claimed his 3rd European Senior Tour title in the French Riviera Masters, despite a final round surge from compatriot Barry Lane. The tournament was reduced to 36 holes after torrential rain caused the first round to be abandoned. But Brown took advantage of benign conditions on Sunday with a flawless round of 68 to secure the win. Time to look ahead to the next event on the race to Dubai, which is the British Masters, supported by Sky Sports at Woburn. This event has been missing from the European Tour for the last 7 years. Great to have it back.
Yeah, absolutely. It is. And we have the involvement now of Poulter, Westwood, Rose, Donald, so I think it's going to grow from strength to strength. And it's nice to see it back on the calendar. And Woburn is such a great golfing haven, you know, with the Duke, the Duchess and the Marquis. 3 great courses there. I was there for the seniors a few weeks ago and they were very excited about the British Masters coming back. So it's going to be a ding-dong battle, but I do feel I have the winner.
OK, we'll get your selection in a second. Tell us about the course. What type of player does it suit?
It's a lovely golf course. It's covered in Scots pines and, you know, driving accuracy is going to be key around it. It might be a little bit soft for the tournament because I think there's a bit of rain forecast, certainly for the next 3 days. But then there's a high coming in and it's going to be absolutely beautiful. But lovely greens, but I'd have to say off the tee, you need to be pretty straight.
So you need to drive it well. Who's in the field this week?
Well, it's a pretty good field. Darren Clarke, Ryder Cup captain, of course, won the Open Championship. Harrington, three-time major champion. Then Luke Donald, Lee Westwood, Robert Carlson, Graham McDowell, Wyer Yang. Remember, he defeated Tiger in the US PGA. Byung-Hun An, who, of course, won the PGA Championship at Wentworth. A struggling Mateo Manassero and another struggler here, Alvaro Quiroz, could all do with good weeks. What a year Shane Lowry's had. Of course, the star attraction, really, because he's synonymous with Woburn. Ian Poulter, Marcel Seam, and then we're down to Kiradek Afi-Barnrat, Danny Willett, who's led the race to Dubai for a long time this year, but just been overhauled at the moment. Chris Wood played well at St Andrews. So it's going to be a great, great field. And nice to see Jamie Donaldson back, Victor Dubuis on, Thomas Bjorn. I mean, the only person who's not there, really, is you.
We need some fantasy race to Dubai tips. You said that you've got the winner for us, John. Then come on, reveal all.
I'm going for Matthew Fitzpatrick.
Really? Interesting. Why have you gone for Matt this week?
Because he's a very, very good player. He's come close.
Is he a winner waiting to happen? Absolutely. Is that what you're suggesting?
Absolutely he is, yeah. I like the way he plays the game. He's very refreshing. He's young and he's keen to get his hands on a trophy.
I'm going to go for Jamie Donaldson. He's found a little bit of form recently. Your thoughts on Jamie's chances?
I've always liked Jamie Donaldson as a person and as a player. Yeah, he's got a very good... I think he'll need to be long around the Marquis because I think it will be quite testing off the tee. So... My Fitzpatrick against Joe Donaldson.
OK, we'll have an even fiver. That is your lot for now. Next week, we'll review the British Masters supported by Sky Sports and look ahead to the Portugal Masters. Until then, you can stay up to date with all the latest news from the European Tour via Twitter, Facebook and Instagram. But for now, it is goodbye from John.
And enjoy Woburn.
And it's goodbye from myself, Dan Robert. Goodbye, we'll see you next time.